They realize that when I get Andre the Giant cinched up in the launch position, when I slam him through the Trump Plaza, brother, from New York down to Tampa, Florida, the fault line is going to break off. And as Andre the Giant falls into the ocean, so will Donald Trump and all the Hulkamaniacs. But as Donald Trump hangs onto the top of the Trump Plaza with his family under his other arm, as they sink to the bottom of the sea, thank God Donald Trump's a Hulkamaniac. He'll know enough to let go of his materialistic possessions, hang on to the wife and kids, dog paddle with his life all the way to safety.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
But Donald, if something happens, you run out of gas, and all those little Hulkamaniacs run out of gas, just hang on to the largest back in the world, and I'll dog paddle us, backstroke all of us to safety.
Oh, and thank you, Hulk Hogan. Let's get back to action. Wow.
Unreal, Donald Trump, one of the Hulkamaniacs.
There he is right there, a Hulkamaniac. You really think so?
Absolutely.
All right, now we're up to the most contentious match of the night. I'll try to keep us churning along here because we've already hit the 90-minute mark. Brock versus Roman Reigns. I put this fourth from the top for a reason because I think it's the fourth most important match because there's three other matches that are, I think, as I said, the spectacle matches that are better. I think it's going to be a good match. Actually, who's supposed to go? Does it even matter?
I think Paul.
There you go, Paul.
Yeah.
Brock, yeah, good, because Paul has many opinions. So Paul, Brock versus Roman. This is the person. Oh, God. All right, everybody have a seat. Brock versus Roman, Paul, what are your thoughts?
Roman Reigns wins. Roman Reigns should win, and I think he'll have a good title run. I like Roman Reigns. I think he's the future of the company, or one of the futures. I think they need to tweak a few things, but I think he's going to have a good, nice, long career. Maybe not Cena-esque, but, you know, Hall of Fame career. Now, Brock Lesnar. So stop booing Roman Reigns, people. I mean, he works hard. I've seen him live. The guy works hard, and he's great with the kids and the crowd. I mean, Roman Reigns is a true professional. I blame the writers as much as anything else. Brock Lesnar. I have conflicting views on Brock Lesnar. On the one hand, he's been a terrible champion. Terrible, because you've got the top belt in the company and he never defends it on TV. He never shows up, usually on TV. When he does, he never says anything. Now, all of that aside, he's a monster. He's a beast. He's been really good for the WWE. I'm not sure I'd want to ever have a beer with him, but he has done really good work over the last 3 or 4 weeks in selling this match and in also turning the crowd just a bit into cheering for Roman Reigns, which I actually didn't think was possible. I thought Roman Reigns would have to go heel in order for him to get over. I think actually beating Lesnar, if they do it right, and if Reigns, you know, doesn't seem like a Superman, but he's the plucky underdog who overcomes, I think Reigns, this could be what gets him over in an organic way. And if that happens, then full credit to Brock Lesnar for making it happen, because he will have done the company a favor on his way out the door. So yeah, that's what I think will happen.
I think Roman Reigns will win. I think Roman Reigns should win. I think if you're – and my biggest problem with Roman Reigns isn't, like Paul said, isn't with Roman Reigns. It's with the writing. I think if you're going to – if you've decided that he is the guy, then book him like he's the guy. And
right.
They've never successfully done that. And although I will say in my little – headspace, headcanon, fan fiction world, in some way Seth Rollins tries to interfere and Roman punches him out. I would just like to see that happen just to, I think that'd be fun. But I think Roman wins. I think Roman should win. I think Brock goes back to Saskatchewan and punches bears or whatever it is he does. But I think he needs to go. And I think, I agree, Brock's been a terrible champion. I think the luster has been off him during the most of this last.
Yeah, this year
run.
he's been diminished this year.
Yeah, and I think he just needs to he needs to go, and whether or not he signs another contract with the WWE or goes back to UFC or whatever, I just think he needs to go away for a while and come back whenever, if he comes back, because he's old. He's like my age, and I'm like 92. It feels like, but needs to go away for a while. It's amazing how somebody can be there that seldom but still feel like he needs to go away. And that's how I feel about Brock. And I love Heyman, and I would like to see Heyman do something more, but every time they tried to put Heyman with somebody else, it's kind of sucked. I'm remembering Cesaro being a Paul Heyman guy. I'm like, oh, God.
Curtis Axel.
But yeah. Yep. Curtis Axel. Why isn't he in the Battle Royal?
I was thinking that earlier when we were talking about the Miz match. I assume the Miz Taraj will be in the Battle Royal.
They better be.
They're going
Kurt
to have a three-way to the... It's going to be
Kurt
Curtis Hawkins. Axel, Roman Reigns, and Brock.
Oh, God.
I would that would draw. I think that I would like to see Roman Reigns win convincingly, win clean, and then get into a feud with somebody worth having a feud with after WrestleMania, which means they will have him feud with Kane. Because
Kane is always the post WrestleMania opponent for whoever wins the title.
I still remember them just wasting Daniel Bryan on that Kane feud after WrestleMania years ago. But I think that Roman Reigns, it's time for a coronation that actually feels like a coronation instead of these half-assed coronations they've done in previous years.
I'm pretty much in agreement with both
of
you guys.
So before Tim goes,
can I
add one other prediction here to this? The only time I want to see Brock Lesnar ever again is when they induct him to the Hall of Fame, where he belongs.
He's an
all-time Hall of Famer. But I don't need to see him come back. Maybe I'll change my mind in 2 years. But I think we've seen the best of Brock Lesnar. And kudos to him, but have Paul Heyman induct him into the Hall of Fame. But Paul Heyman, you're right. There's nobody else he can manage except Brock Lesnar and... Oh, wait,
Ronda
I have
Rousey.
My headphones on so you can't hear it. No, everybody thinks so. CM Punk. I believe CM Punk will return to the WWE.
Yeah.
And not today, not tomorrow, but I think that's going to happen. And the money will just be too much to pass up. And Heyman will come back as Punk's manager. And imagine how the crowd pops when Punk's music hits after after Heyman comes out in a year or a year and a half and says, I'm back, and I have a new client. You might remember him. Yeah, so that's what I think happens with Heyman down the road.
That's the only thing I want out of this company. If I could have one
thing,
great. I want CM Punk back. And I want it to happen in Chicago.
Sure. Pay him,
that
sell
would be
the
cool.
money, because for Punk, it's all about the money, I think, and maybe a bit of the respect. So pay him the money, settle the lawsuits. If you have to admit maybe you were wrong, do that too. But it's so much money for the WWE, I don't know how they could pass that up, and I don't think they will. At some point, they'll do a deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, they're probably just waiting it out until he, until they see some kind of cracks in his facade. All right, as far as the Brock-Roman match, I like, obviously, Roman. You guys pretty much talked about most of the stuff here. To me, it's just like... It's just funny that Paul talks, and this isn't a slam on you, Paul, where it's like, are they going to make, I think what both of you guys said this kind of, where it's like, are they going to make Roman the future of the WWE? It's like, if you look at his record, dude, he beat Undertaker last year at WrestleMania. He beat Triple H the year before, and the year prior to that, he took Lesnar to the limit, and then Seth Rollins weaseled his way in and stole the title. So it's like, he's not the future. He is the fucking WWE at this point. So they might as well just... Like Aaron was saying, just go with it and see what happens. I think the problem, though, is like just that they've gone with it already, like two or three different times at bad times, and messed it up. And it's like, this is. I was thinking about this today, actually, because I wanted to bring it up for this show. When he wins the title, if he wins the title at WrestleMania, won the world title. So it's like all this talk about this is going to be his coronation. It's like. He's already won the Royal Rumble. This is the fourth. He won the world title at WrestleMania in Dallas 2 years ago, beating Triple H. So it's like they need to like get over this. I think it's like their own compulsion to like establish him. He's established, dude. He's established. So let's just move to I don't know what. You know, I think the talk, I guess, or people have speculated, is like Roman versus Cena next year at WrestleMania, where it's like, do they move him now into the role where Cena was, when Cena fought The Rock? Like, we're getting closer and closer to that. I mean, he's been the main event of WrestleMania for, like, this is his fourth year running. So, I think, yes, this will be the coronation, but in a sense, I mean, they're just kind of, like, run him into the ground already with storylines and shit. He's already fought everybody. Who are they going to, like, bring over? Baron Corbin?
Well, it's pro wrestling. Everybody's already fought everybody. So, you know, at the end of the day, there's still tons that they can do with him. But he's the guy, but he's not the guy. And I think this will be where they make him the guy. Because only two guys have ever beaten The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And so this is, I would have made more of this, frankly, than they have. So this is the rubber match. This is where we decide who is the best of all time in terms of people who beat the Undertaker. Triple H never beat him. Shawn Michaels didn't beat him. You know, you go down the list. Kane didn't beat him.
I agree in the sense that like, this is the culmination. This is like the last, I don't know, the last dragon to slay, right? I mean, this seems, there's nothing else this guy can do to establish himself as the number one guy.
I was just going to say, here's some ideas for you over the next 2 years. Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns, love to see that. Again, haven't had enough. Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns, awesome, no problem. I'm cool with that.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I just think, like,
Finn Balor,
you know,
there's lots of guys. So
I guess what I'm saying is, like, the idea that, like, I guess the clock is already ticking. He's already done 4 years on top. So it's like the idea that he's the future, it's like, yeah, he's the future for like five more years. You know what I mean? It's like they're already burning through that. So they should stop trying to establish him and just ride it out now. But I think that's where they're at now.
Yeah, fair enough. I just think this will be the moment where they start riding. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds wrong.
I think with regard to Paul's he's the guy but not the guy thing, it just occurred to me that what it reminds me of, and I'm not comparing, you know, talent or anything, but it reminds me of Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10 getting the title from Yokozuna. He'd already had the title.
Redemption,
you know, he beat fucking Ric Flair, you know? He'd already had a title run that almost nobody really remembers. I mean, he won the title at a taping in Saskatoon or something. That was only on a Coliseum video. But, you know, Bret Hart wasn't the guy until WrestleMania 10, until that 94-95 run. He wasn't world champion Bret Hart, you know, even though he was a two-time champion at that point. There has to be a point at which you make him the guy.
Yeah.
And it's
just like,
first of all,
Daniel Bryan was world heavyweight champion, but what was his moment? His moment was WrestleMania 30, right? So, I agree with that.
That's making
him the guy, but not the guy.
I'll just say, Aaron, you're obsessed with Saskatchewan, and that's disturbing. And you've just made two more Saskatchewan references in casual conversation than most Canadians ever do in a year. And the second thing I'll say is Roman Reigns could go two ways. I could see him being the next John Cena, and not in the, you know, he's not Cena, but that level of star. And I can also see him being the next Randy Orton, which is a really good wrestler who has a really good run and wins lots of titles. But you know what? He's never the guy. Somebody else becomes the guy. And Roman Reigns could still go one of those two ways. And honestly, I think a lot of it hinges on what he does this weekend and how that match goes, how it's perceived. Is it a good match, a bad match? You know, will Brock really put him over? Like, I mean, really sell and put him over? Can Roman put himself over? This is a career-making match for Roman Reigns. He's already got a great career. He'll be fine. But is he Randy Orton or is he John Cena? And they'll decide that, I think, this weekend.
Wow.
That's a really good analogy, because one thing about Roman, and I'm not going to say I like him. I will say he is a very good WWE wrestler. But
he's very Randy Orton-esque. He's like that JBL thing where it's like, if you built a superstar from the ground up, that's exactly what Roman Reigns is.
Exactly. He is he is a corporate product. And I think the way they booked him really emphasizes that he is the face of the company that they want. And I think that it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, they in one way or another have pushed him as Roman Reigns' WWE product. And there's been these other guys who have come up, like AJ Styles, who have come up in the meantime, who have a more organic sort of appeal. And what I'm interested to see this weekend is if Roman can overcome the corporate shaping of his career and connect with the people on that level. I think that the John Cena Randy Orton thing is a really good analogy, because I was watching on the network the photo shoot episode with Jim Cornette, and one of the pictures they put up for him to react to was the prototype John Cena in OVW, and they had some clips of Cena and Randy Orton in OVW back in like 2000, 2001, and you could just tell Randy Orton was this like third generation cookie cutter guy, and Cena just had it. You know, Cena just exuded this connection with the crowd. Mm-hmm. And I think that the analogy of is Reigns going to be a Cena or an Orton is perfect.
Well, there you go, Paul.
I agree, because it was my analogy. So
I know. That's why I'm putting you over, Paul.
Nice. I like it.
I think it'll be a good match, wrestling-wise, just a brute versus a brute match. So we'll move on from that one. I'm going to shift the actual timeline of matches here, because I think this one fits better next. And I actually forgot it originally when I wrote the list. That's how it's just a late addition. Zayn and Owens versus Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, and I think it's necessary to point out the caveat that Zayn and Owens must win to get their jobs back. So that should have some bearing on the finish. And I guess I'll start. I don't know how this order is going anymore. So I think it's my turn, though, actually.
Yep.
And based on that caveat, I have to go with Zayn and Owens in some kind of – I think this is going to be like a WrestleMania moment match. I think maybe Shane McMahon will turn on Daniel Bryan, or something will happen to cost – their side the match, and Zayn and Owens will win. Or maybe Shane McMahon will lose. I don't know. You know, something's going to happen. I'm expecting this match to have some kind of shenanigans, I guess is what I'm saying. So by virtue of the stipulation, I'm picking Zayn and Owens to win. I think it'll be a great match. I'm really looking forward to it. The reason I moved it in the order to soapbox, in a sense, is just because somebody mentioned these organic people that come up. Daniel Bryan is like, he should have been the face of the show. Like, he connected with the audience so well that, like, you go with that when it works. And their attitude, I think, was like, he's too small and weird-looking. And it's like, dude, from Hulk Hogan to Stone Cold, man, you don't know who's – the next guy is, like, the most opposite of who you just had as your biggest star. So it's like, you got Hulk Hogan – then you have Stone Cold and The Rock, and, like, the most opposite is, like, Daniel Bryan. It just makes perfect sense. That's always how it's worked. So I hope that he can come back and actually fulfill what I think is his chance to, like, be the guy. But I have a feeling that, like, tragically, he'll never get the chance to really be that guy. But I'm very intrigued by the fact that he's back, and I think it's going to be a great match when he's in the ring, and people will be, like, holding their breath and watching just to see what it's like. So it's going to be quite the spectacle, in a sense. And we'll see what happens. But I think Zayn and Owens are going to win just because they pretty much telegraphed it with that stipulation. I don't see why they'd even... So, who's next?
I think I am. What
there you
I
go,
want
Paul.
To see, and this is this is what is going to... I honestly, I think it is my turn. But
I know. I thought it was... I'm sorry. There you go.
What I think will happen is, because of that stipulation and because it is the holy and righteous thing to do, Daniel Bryan will turn heel, take out Shane McMahon, and we have Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Daniel Bryan running roughshod over SmackDown. that company ignored all of those doctors who cleared Daniel Bryan for how many years, and then finally said, "Oh, okay, yeah, I guess you're okay." So there's a story there. There's this sort of indie darling triumvirate. It just works. So it works with the stipulation. It works with the concussion brain damage clearance storyline. It works with the company having to be almost, you know, forced at gunpoint to make Bryan something other than a guy who's going to fight Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. You know, it just needs to happen that way. And heel Daniel Bryan, people forget how good heel Daniel Bryan is. Bryan Danielson.
I agree with everything you're saying. I think that would be the right thing to do. I just wonder if they could even keep him heel. I want to see him versus AJ Styles. So if he turns heel, that actually will happen sooner than later if AJ retains.
Exactly.
So I would be all for that. It's interesting. It's just a weird – the whole thing with him coming back right at the last minute now is just like – it throws a whole monkey wrench in the whole league in a sense because it's like – all right, you just got an A-list star back. Like, where are you going to put this guy? It's very interesting. I'm sure Paul has an opinion on all this.
So, because that you get over by putting somebody with McMahon. So that's
exactly. Well, that gives you the rub. That makes you a true superstar. Look at Triple H.
Yep.
All right, Paul. What are your thoughts on this intriguing SmackDown match with the general manager and the McMahon?
So I've always thought that Daniel Bryan's a little overrated, which is not to say that he's not great. It's just to say that he's not God. And I think the time away has built this legend. He was getting over. He was certainly over. You know, I was one of the last holdouts on Daniel Bryan. Not that I think like Vince McMahon, but I thought he could be a title holder. I just didn't think he, and I still don't think he ever could have been the guy. Now,
you're wrong.
Having said all that, he could be.
He's mankind.
He could be for the internet wrestling community, but I, you know, in terms of what the WWE does, and I know you guys won't like it, but as a giant multinational billion-dollar corporation, I always thought his ceiling was limited to being kind of, you know, the under guy, the second guy, the mankind, because mankind was never the guy. Mick was never the guy.
No.
He was always the number two or three guy.
He was always like right in the mix, you know, in the top.
Yeah.
Frame.
No problem.
So, yeah.
But he wasn't the guy who was in company. And he was the guy who was helping the guy who was carrying the company. And that's cool. And that's a great role to be in. And I think that's, you know, Brian's role. I think it's even more his role now because I'm not completely convinced that even though he's been cleared, the company believes that he can be what he used to be.
And
I'm still
back for good.
I'm sure. In the back.
I have a feeling he'll be cleared anymore by summer. Yeah.
Yeah. So what has to happen is, Tim, you're right, Owens and Zayn have to win because the stipulation is there. So then the only way that makes sense to me is if one of the other two guys turns heel. I know you guys would love to see heel Bryan. They won't do it. I don't think they should do it. The crowd wants to cheer him. They will turn McMahon heel because he's a McMahon.
Yeah.
And because as much as we all hate the authority storyline, it's built for a McMahon, and Shane can do it. And I kind of want to see Shane as a heel because I don't think he's a very good face, frankly.
No.
And then Bryan can be the plucky underdog, which is the role that got him where he is. And
with AJ Styles. Yeah.
Right. And if they did it right, it could be a corporate faction led by Shane with Zayn and Owens and stuff, and Bryan fighting sort of a plucky resistance. I'd actually like to see that, and especially if they could do it right. And Bryan remains the general manager, and he only wrestles occasionally in really big moments. Cool.
That would be interesting.
That's safe for him. I think maybe if he proves that he can do that, they could work him into a more full-time schedule maybe. So I think that's what they're going to do. Shane O'Mac turns heel. And I would go along with you, Aaron. I actually like Daniel Bryan as a heel. I think that'd be fun. Except when they had Zayn and Owens beat him down, from a storytelling point of view, I just don't see how 2 or 3 weeks later, whatever it is, you have Daniel Bryan suddenly side with them. That to me,
yeah.
You know, I don't. I don't know. If they hadn't done that, I'd agree with you. I'd say that was a real possibility. But they did it, and I just don't see – I think Brian gets blindsided by Shane McMahon, and Shane goes, you've always been a pest. You've always been a pain in the McMahon's ass. I know my dad hated you, my sister hated you, and I understand why now. And, screw you.
That makes a hell of a lot of sense. Dang you,
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
Mark.
Well, you'll hit, see, it'll all, my, the wheels come off my truck when we get to the John Cena match. So, because you guys will just, my prediction will, you won't buy it. So.
Is there a John Cena
let me think of anything else
has
to say about this. Well, that's the thing. Hold on. I don't think there's anything else to say about the Daniel Bryan match. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah. The next thing on the list, the second to last match, quote unquote, is John Cena versus Undertaker. Now there's speculation that this is not even going to be a match, that it's going to be a segment, that they're going to, have some kind of brawl or some shit, not actually have a match, which they've done before with The Undertaker and other people in the past. So I don't even know. Paul, you intimated that you have passionate feelings about about this Cena versus Undertaker match. I'm just more disappointed because I was on board with this storyline until Monday when I figured that all these weeks were going to build up to the Monday Night Raw when he would call him out, and finally Undertaker would answer, and the crowd would go absolutely bananas, and it didn't happen. And it's like, if you're saving that for WrestleMania, it just doesn't feel the same, man. Like, we need to know what's going to happen. So clearly the plan is for some kind of payoff at WrestleMania, which leads me to think segment, maybe even leading to those two fighting at next year's WrestleMania or some shit. That's my concern. If it's an actual match, somehow Undertaker should win. There's no question about that. John Cena's been the heel in this whole thing, calling him out. So Undertaker comes out, answers him. You know, if that could be the segment, Undertaker comes out, punches him 3, 4, 5 times, does the old school tombstone, celebrates. You know, I think that's probably what may happen, but we'll see. All right, Paul, you have said you have a crazy prediction. So what do you think?
I do. Well, okay, actually, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't care. I never want to see The Undertaker wrestle again. Ever.
Thank you.
Ever, 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 ever. Ever. And there's no reason to have this match. Kudos to John Cena. He's done really good work. He's been on top of his game. I think he's been great. But you're right, Tim, not paying it off on Monday Night Raw, if you're going to try and pay it off Sunday, was a terrible mistake. So, I have a hypothesis, like Scagnetti in Aliens with Knives, Tim. I have a hypothesis.
Yes.
And this is what I would do. So, the hamster is spinning, as Jimmy Corderas would say. The Undertaker will appear.
Jesus.
The Undertaker will appear, but he will say something along the lines of, and I don't know what he'd say, but something like, "You've got it all wrong, John. I'm done. I've done everything I wanted to do, but I'm not the coward here. You are. You're the coward because all you want to do is fight other legends. You don't want to fight new guys. You don't want to take the next generation. All you want to do is fight somebody who's already retired. Well, guess what? I've got somebody for you to fight. My days are over, but I have somebody new. And I want to see Aleister Black come out and kick John Cena's ass." Because every WrestleMania should have an NXT guy debut and make his mark. Aleister Black is a superstar in, he is gold. And if you want to make him, send him out as the Undertaker's chosen one and have him decimate John Cena. And boom, you make out. He is a made man after that on the main roster. And then the Undertaker, instead of being this 51-year-old guy who nobody's going to believe he can beat Cena, but even if Cena beats him, who cares? Undertaker beats Cena, who cares? They fight in the crowd, who cares? The Undertaker comes out as the American Badass, who cares? The Undertaker comes out and gives the rub to Aleister Black, who's the one guy that it would make sense with. I care. And WWE, do it! Pull the trigger, bring Aleister Black out, and let Cena be the guy who puts over somebody like that. Boom! Boom.
I have three words for you, Paul, in response to that idea. Jericho versus Fandango.
Oh, God.
I cannot ever endorse that kind of idea ever, just because, like, I don't trust them ever to do it right. So part of me just, as soon as I'm listening to that, I'm just seeing Jericho Fandango in my head, where it's like, this is such a bad, you know, as Coach said, you know, they show the most improvement between the first WrestleMania and the second. You don't want to bring something. A WrestleMania debut is generally like a disaster, I think. But I'd have to look back on that.
He's not Fandango. Aleister Black, he's ready. They're not going to do it. Like, if they do it.
No.
Seriously. I should be booked on every wrestling show ever for predicting this. They're not going to do it.
If not, every paranormal show ever.
I just think they should. And somewhere in the back, Triple H probably briefly had the idea, because he's one of those guys. No, they're probably going to do some dumb segment with The Undertaker and Cena. And seriously, it's such a sad thing to say. They're the two greatest stars of probably the last 25 or 30 years. And it will be my bathroom break. I just honestly don't care. So.
Yeah, this is The Rock coming out with the flamethrower and announcing the attendance type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
So what's your prediction, Aaron? We didn't get your prediction.
What do you think, Aaron?
I've got nothing to predict. There's no match, right? I mean,
right.
This is stupid. This is very stupid. I don't know if they had no idea whether or not what Undertaker is going to be able to physically do, which I suspect that's the deal. This entire approach is because they do not know what Mark Calloway is physically capable of doing on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so because they feel they have to mention The Undertaker and bring him up and have him as a part of it, they've been jerking the audience around, because they know in this WWE Network world that pay-per-view buys we don't have to draw, right? Everybody is just drawn to the WrestleMania brand. So there's no – it's just stupid. It's going to be a segment. It's going to be a brawl. It's going to be something like that. I would love to see Aleister Black debut here, because that's something that will hopefully stick. And Aleister Black is great. But one thing I do want to say is I have loved losing streak grizzled veteran John Cena. I think he's done a great job with this. The only thing that's let it down is this whole very sort of corporate branding-esque, I don't have a path to WrestleMania. You're John Cena. You want. You're the biggest. You're really the only draw they have. Why?
Yeah, he's like in some major movie that's premiering like this month, you know, around the same time as WrestleMania, like a big summer movie.
It's ridiculous. This whole I don't have a path to. I love grizzled veteran John Cena, and if they'd had grizzled veteran John Cena who wanted to validate his career by beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania and have that be the thread over the last few months, that would have been great. But this I don't have a path to WrestleMania thing is just
bullshit. They tried to explain, and the worst part is it seemed like they answered that question on the Raw this week, because
horrible.
People say, why don't I get in the Battle Royal? Why don't I get in one of these multi-man matches that Tim Benal hates? And it was like, because I lose all the time, and I don't want to be in some match and take somebody's spot. So, like, if he had said that way at the beginning, this all would make more sense.
Yeah, because Dolph Ziggler and Carlos Colon, or whatever, whichever Colon is in there, because their
Primo.
Records have qualified them to be in the Battle Royal. That is... Yeah, I hated that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And funny, because three or four years ago, that was the thing, before he had a match, he did the same kind of shtick where he was like, I don't have a match, so I'm in the Battle Royal. And then he ended up fighting somebody. So he's even sunk that far. All right, well, we're at the two-hour mark, and we're at the main event now. So what I think is the main event, and what I think will be the main event... And feel free to disagree if you guys disagree with that. But I think I have a feeling this will be the last match. Kurt Angle, who ironically went in the Hall of Fame last year and now is in the main event of WrestleMania, And Rowdy Ronda Rousey of UFC fame, for the people who are just joining us now at the two-hour mark, versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon in the spectacle, I guess you could say, main event. I want to go with Paul because he's had the most craziest opinions of the night. He's had a lot to say about these things, which I liked. So, Paul, what's your take on this? I know you hate Ronda Rousey. I'm not a big fan either. Hate's a strong word, but you know what I mean. You're not a fan of Ronda Rousey, yeah. Neither am I. You know, give us your analysis here of what I think will be the main event of WrestleMania 34.
I actually think the main event will be Reigns and Lesnar. I hope I'm right. Okay. But, God, if it's – oh, my God, don't let it be this match. This should be on the pre-show.
Yeah.
So, Kurt Angle is – I don't know if he's sustained brain damage, but they should be checking him because he's I miss the old Kurt Angle. I'm sorry they brought him back. I was looking forward to him coming back, but something's not there. And he's been embarrassing himself. And it's sad to see.
I agree. He seems out of it.
Yeah. So, cool. I love Triple H. Always have. I like Stephanie. I just don't want to see her wrestle ever. But, you know, fine. This has the potential to be one of the legendary clusterfucks of WrestleMania history. And my fear is it could derail the entire show, which is an otherwise pretty good show. Because Ronda Rousey isn't ready. She's not ready for prime time. She also not in this way. She needs a manager because she's not very good on the mic yet. Stephanie shouldn't be wrestling. Triple H and Kurt Angle, awesome 15 years ago. Nothing about this match I want to see. Zero. Prediction, of course, Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey win. And my prediction is Ronda Rousey makes Triple H tap out. That's my prediction.
I've heard that.
I just don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I have nothing personal against Ronda Rousey. If they wanted to bring her in, fine. You know, train her up and whatever. But there's an awful lot of women. And I get it. The WWE likes big names. Fine. She's a big name. Fine. She put a lot of eyeballs on. Cool. I understand why they're doing it. But it's also a symptom of what's still wrong with WWE. And they can make it better if they stick it in the middle of the card. I can live with that. But if they make this the main event, God help them. In my books, it'd be like there will be a Twitter fusillade coming from me against the WWE. I will Jericho their asses. Not the main event. Please, God, not the main event.
My
prediction.
You had me expecting a fusillade of Twitter maniacs, and it was just you, which I like. They'll be getting a fuselage of Twitter attacks from me. Yeah. It's like, just you?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
WWE.
I'm canceling my sole subscription to the network.
Nothing about this.
No, I know what you're saying.
Nothing. Yeah. And let me ask yourselves, the go-home show on Raw this past weekend, which was painful generally, but that opening segment with the four of them, was that not one of the most painful things you've ever had to watch on any WWE program?
I didn't even watch it.
Brutal.
I skipped until I saw physical contact.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was just bad. So, as far as I go, Angle and Rousey win. The reason why I think it's going to be the last match is just because, like, as we saw, it was the lead segment on Raw. It's pretty much it's either that or Brock Roman, essentially. And if they were smart, they would put that match, the Brock Roman match, last and switch the positions of the two from the list we had tonight, just because they should kind of bury it in the mid card because it could be a disaster. The Rousey thing, it's again like the earlier match about Rusev. This is a referendum on Rousey. It's like, we'll see what she can do. It seems like they're going to set up the whole show now about her versus the McMahons. They're going to try and redo Stone Cold versus Mr. McMahon through Rousey versus Stephanie. This is the start. This is the very beginning of what I think will be like a long and either painful or actually classic feud or storyline, I guess you could say. So we're like at the very beginning of this whole thing. And so you talk about a coronation. This is going to be a coronation of Rousey, essentially. I heard Paul's prediction about her tapping out Triple H in other places, too. And it makes perfect sense because Stephanie seems just absolutely unbearable and like almost like she wouldn't do the job. I can imagine where it's going to be like Stephanie won't tap out to Ronda Rousey, but Triple H will. So, we'll see. It's going to be a WrestleMania moment. I can guarantee you that. It's going to be a big-time WrestleMania moment. Aaron, your thoughts on the main event of WrestleMania 34?
Well, we were watching Raw, my wife and I, and she and I watch every pay-per-view, and she's irritated that I'm going out of town, partially because we're going to be missing our semi-monthly or semi-monthly date night where we order in wings or pizza or something and watch, you know, a pay-per-view while she reads a book or something and says, what's going on? And I explain it to her. But she's also of the opinion that, one, how long is this thing? Oh, I'm glad we're not watching this. and also, we were watching Raw, and she was like, so this Ronda Rousey, I'm supposed to like her? I don't like her. Why would I like her? She's annoying. She can't talk. Is she even a wrestler? Who is she? What's going on?
Yeah, she's like a lame celebrity.
Why do I care about this? And I'm like, well, she did UFC. And then he was like, oh, like when we watched that Ultimate Fighter show years ago? Yeah, that was okay. Now, who's she? You know, so that's, you know, casual. If you want to take, like, middle class, middle America, suburban, generic viewer, like my wife is perfect for that because she knows that wrestling, knows what the deal is with wrestling, but, you know, isn't a huge fan. And she's like, I don't like this person. I like Stephanie. I mean, I don't like Stephanie, but Stephanie's, you know, fun to watch. Ronda Rousey is not fun to watch in this context. And I agree about Kurt. Every time Kurt is up there talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, are they trying to do the dumb, goofy Kurt from 2001 and just not quite hitting it? Or is he really more damaged than we think? Or as damaged as we suspect? You know, so it's been painful, but Rousey's going to go over, and I agree with the Triple H doing the job because Triple H, you know, no pun intended, knows what's best for business, and Stephanie doesn't necessarily. So, yeah, I think Triple H taps out. Yeah,
Triple H knows how it works, so he knows when it goes on ESPN and SportsCenter and all those fucking things. He's the one tapping out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he gets the moment. He gets the moment, not his wife. So,
and
I can see him being like, I'm being generous by doing this.
Triple H knows it's a work. Triple H knows it's a work and embraces it. Stephanie is like, I'm a McMahon. So,
right, exactly. Yeah.
Here's my hope. And I'm hopeful in this sense. I think they've misread things. I get Rousey's popular, but I don't think she's as popular as they think she is. And I think if they could have gotten undefeated Ronda Rousey from UFC, big time. But Ronda Rousey's a two-time loser now, and everyone knows why she's in the WWE, because her UFC career is basically over.
Yes.
So, timing off, CNN, on the front page of their website today, had a really good piece about a women's match at WrestleMania, and it wasn't Ronda Rousey. You'd think it would be, right, because she's the big star. Nope, it was Charlotte and Asuka, and it was sort of in-depth and detailing why this was a really great match. And yeah, on their website. And it's a really good article. You should go check it out. And I thought, cool, WWE, you've misunderstood the market these days. The market, I think, favors stories like Asuka and Charlotte, and I think you're behind the curve. So... And my last word on this match will be, going back to my Roman Reigns thing, is he Randy Orton or is he John Cena? If he's Randy Orton, then the main event is as Tim predicts it, Ronda Rousey. Because if he's John Cena, then he main events WrestleMania and he gets coronation is the end. So if the company sees him as the next John Cena, he closes the night. And if the company thinks he's the next Randy Orton, whether intentionally, you know, subconsciously maybe they think that, then he's the second or third match. And so this would be telling
too. That's a good point. Yeah.
Who closes WrestleMania? Yeah. And I think so, he
does. Because he closed WrestleMania last year inexplicably against The Undertaker in a match that had, you know, there was no implications other than him versus Undertaker in a grudge match. And that was the last match. And it was like, so that really is the vote of confidence, I guess you could say, on the show. And it'll be a bellwether for what it means for him.
It was the wrong decision last year, but it will be the right decision this year. And, so I hope that's what they do. But, Tim, like you, I don't always trust management at the WWE. I do believe there's a chance they could make the Ronda Rousey match the main event, and that would be a terrible
Absolutely.
Mistake.
And I will say
we'll
that.
We'll see. But
I think it will be the main event, and I think what that will do is it will turn Ronda Rousey not into the latest acquisition of the Women's Revolution, which is sort of tangentially sort of how they see her, right? They see her as, you know, this is part of what we're doing. No, Ronda Rousey is going to be this year's Lawrence Taylor. This is going to be the Lawrence Taylor Bam Bam Bigelow match.
I thought about that actually tonight. Yeah, I thought about that tonight before the show.
She's the sports celebrity. She is not the new women's wrestler. And Paul citing that CNN article is what made me think of that. It's because, you know what, when people from the outside look at this and they look at women's wrestlers, they see Charlotte, they see Asuka, they see Nia Jax, they see Alexa Bliss, they see the Battle Royal. When people are looking at, WrestleMania, they also have goofy celebrity shit. There's Ronda Rousey.
Right. Absolutely. She's a stunt wrestler,
Yep, exactly.
And the question now is how they transition her from a stunt wrestler into a regular character. Are they going to, Brock Lesnar
very
her?
Very poorly.
That's exactly. That's what I think, too.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Ronda Rousey, who I don't really like, but if they made her
you've
a
said
heel,
that twice
because
now.
She's a net. Yeah, your wife is right. She's a natural heel. She's thoroughly unlikable. They can do that. And she does genuinely, I do believe she genuinely likes pro wrestling. And that might be the saving grace that after they get over this, that maybe she sort of says, hey, herself, she might say, look, I want to be not just one of the women, but I'm willing to work. And I want to do this organically, and I need to be a heel. Maybe she's smart enough to figure that out on her own. And she's got the clout to sort of force them to do that, I think. So there's potential. I just don't hold out a lot of hope, but that would be that's the path she has to take if she wants to have a real career in WWE.
What I think, and this is not anything that the WWE would do in any possible universe, what I would have done with Ronda Rousey is I would have had her go into the Women's Battle Royal and just kick everybody's ass and set her
up.
You mean the
WrestleMania Battle Royal or the Royal Rumble?
The WrestleMania Battle Royal. If you were at Royal Rumble, then have her come in at WrestleMania, and the storyline would be, you know what, you were a big deal in UFC, but this is the WWE, and you're just another one of these women here, and she comes in and proves herself in that Battle Royal, and then goes to SmackDown and beats whoever the SmackDown or beats whatever.
Yeah, that actually would have been a smarter place.
Asuka,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
And they build her up as an actual WWE superstar rather than a UFC celebrity athlete who comes in as a special attraction.
I like it. Only one thing would have been better, and this is the thing that WWE would have been even less likely to do. You send her, she starts off at NXT.
Yeah,
she just comes out and she says, I want to work my way. I don't want to be handed anything. I don't want to main event WrestleMania until I've earned it. You know, I was what I was, but now here I am. I'm humbled up, and I'm gonna go through the roster from the beginning like Charlotte did and Becky Lynch did. I'm going to earn it. And she would have, I think then, even I would have been won over. But, of course, WWE is never going to tell that story. So that's just me dreaming in a fantasy world. But that's the way they probably should have done it, because then it would have been good for Ronda Rousey.
Hold on one second, Aaron. Because I was actually thinking of this thought tonight about how you transition her into the league. And it's like, The only way I think they could smartly do it, and I'm sure I'm probably like have a terrible idea, but it's like somehow in the shakeup you get Stephanie's going to need some henchmen, and you get Natalya and Mickie James, and they're the henchmen. They fight Ronda for like the next 6 months to teach her how to wrestle.
Yeah, that's, here's a question for both of you. One last question for me, for you two guys, about Ronda Rousey. What do you think the chances are that she turns heel at WrestleMania?
Kurt Angle?
That maybe somebody, in the company has realized, you know what, she's not a face, she's a heel, and she turns on Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle winds up tapping out. Maybe Rousey puts him in the ankle lock or something.
I wouldn't
be stunned.
I
wouldn't be stunned.
With
Aaron.
It's probably
Aaron
zero.
I said zero. It's not going to happen. I don't think they're that. They're not. I mean, go back to what you said about the U.S. title match. They are completely locked in to what side of the fence they put people on, based on what they perceive their need to be. And they perceive Ronda Rousey as this babyface-ish celebrity. And,
she's Stone Cold, man. She's the new Stone Cold.
An
attempt.
She's so not,
Oh, I know. She's nothing like Stone Cold, but.
Yeah. Austin could string together three words without sounding like an idiot.
Right.
It's brutal.
She needs a manager.
So who do they bring up?
Kind of like.
Who did they bring up Monday night on Raw from NXT? Because there's always an NXT call up after WrestleMania. Who are they bringing up?
All right, okay, hold on now. Are we done with? We're past the show now. We're way past, but I can keep talking wrestling forever. I hope you guys can do a little while longer. So that's the main event. So we'll push off that because Paul's already got an idea. So all right, what are your predictions for like Monday? Afterwards, like Paul said, who comes up and we'll get a superstar stake up in a minute. So Paul brought it up. So Paul, you sound like you have an idea. So go ahead.
Maybe Drew McIntyre or maybe Aleister Black, because my Aleister Black dream at WrestleMania isn't going to happen. So I can see either one of them coming up and being the next sort of promotion from NXT. Adam Cole, as much as I love Aleister Black, though. I desperately want to see Adam Cole on the main stage. Like, I love Adam Cole. So, there's no bad answer. NXT is brimming with so much talent that TakeOver might actually be a better show in terms of, enjoyment and condensed fun. Because I'm really looking forward to...
Oh, yeah, 2 hours versus seven.
Yeah. So, it's the equivalent... It's the difference between taking marijuana and cocaine. NXT is going to be a cocaine hit. I'm going to go with Aleister Black, though. I think he's on the main roster Monday night.
The only ones I can predict, as I said earlier, for the Battle Royal is those two Australian girls. I think they're more than ready. They've been languishing in NXT for way too long. Peyton Royce, I forget her, and Billie Kay. They're like tailor-made for the main roster. I'm stunned they haven't been on there yet. Other than that, I can't think of it. I don't follow NXT as closely as I used to. So I can't really say like who else might be brought up. But Sanity, I think maybe are those having. Oh, Authors of Pain definitely should be brought up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I figure Authors of Pain will definitely be brought up. Let's just hope they don't go the way of the Ascension. But that's about it. Office of Pain and the two Australian women would be the ones I bring up. But I can't think of any other people. Oh, and Drew McIntyre if he's healthy, because why just put him back in NXT would make sense.
Right.
Aaron, do you know anyone else who they could? And Rey Mysterio if they can get him.
Yeah, I think Mysterio's injured is what I read.
Yeah, he is.
And excuse me, I don't know what McIntyre's status is with his bicep tear, whatever he had, but
Big Cass is due to come back on. Big Cass is cleared to come back, so expect him on Raw.
The business is saved, right? Exactly. Yeah, as soon as McIntyre's, you know, healed, I expect him on the main roster because there's no point in bringing him back to NXT, like you said. I like Royce and Kay. I just – they've brought up a lot of new people in the women's division on both shows lately, so I'm not sure where they would fit. I would like to see the whole Undisputed Era come up and, it, you know, with I love Adam Cole and just come up and with the Red Dragon guys and just come and just show up on one of the shows and sort of be like a more effective Riot Squad and just brutalize everybody and just
like a new Shield,
cause some havoc. The Nexus or NWO, something needs to happen that isn't, that clearly breaks the format. And I think that's what's been missing. Also,
yeah, and it needs to be SmackDown. Right. I think they would get lost on Raw, but on SmackDown, Adam Cole could be a star. And so I think that's where he needs to go. And I'd transfer Balor and Rollins over to SmackDown too. You know, Rollins could be the next Edge on SmackDown, and Balor could find a great place there too. And then you create two different identities.
That's what I was
going to
segue
into
to see is the shakeup. Yeah, if you're going to go with Roman Reigns on Raw, then you should move like. I would like move Jinder Mahal and Baron Corbin over to Raw to feud with him. As awful as that sounds, it's like who else can he, you know, throw? You need to like be a little more top heavy on heels on that side, and I'd put some of these these face wrestlers that are languishing like Finn Balor. Yeah, definitely move him over. So
I agree. I would like to
and shake up the women's roster. You know, a lot.
I would like to see some guys. Yeah, like Corbin and Mahal. Over to Raw and just Roman needs to just blow through some guys. I think that's one thing he's never really had is sort of the jobber to the stars,
like a series of feuds that he wins.
Guys. Yep. And I think Mahal and Corbin are established enough and good enough workers that would benefit Roman to do that.
Yeah, I think Jinder.
And then by then, Dean Ambrose will be back, and you can turn him heel and carry on for the rest of the year.
Please turn Dean heel. Bring back the sort of CZW John Moxley insane semi homeless guy.
He was like the Joker like character that Paul was asking for Rollins to be. I always thought he could have been the Joker like guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's more Joker. Rollins would be more like burn stuff down. Jinder's the guy because Baron Corbin, I'm not a huge fan, but I think he still has potential.
Yeah.
And he's never
had a title. But he'll have won the WrestleMania Battle Royal twice by now.
There you go. But Jinder's been a world title holder. So Jinder can go over to Raw. He can lose consistently to Reigns for a couple of months. Nice feud. Jinder's a decent worker. Reigns beats a guy who's been a world title holder, and it won't diminish Jinder Mahal any. If you put Baron Corbin over there and then he lost again and again and again,
it kills him.
It kills him, and I don't think we're ready to kill him off just yet. He's salvageable.
I'm ready to kill him since
NXT. I hate that guy. Yeah. His weird horizontal line of a belly button freaks me out.
I'd definitely move like the bar needs to go over to SmackDown. I would just move like a lot of the best wrestlers over there and move some of the more brutish, like brawler types to Raw.
Well, you know, my idea, Tim, has always been put all the tag team guys on one show and all the women on the other and make, you know, like, there you go. Don't give them their own show. Don't repeat the 205 Live mistake. But say SmackDown is our tag team show. And if you want to see the best women wrestlers on the planet, they're on Raw every night.
I agree.
Because it's a little too diffuse. I'd like to see the Usos, the New Day, the Revival, the Bar, all on the same, you know, the Bullet Club, all on the same show and have some really great tag team matches. And the Ascension.
Yeah, well, they maybe need to, like, break up the show or at least sort of, they're trying to do it, but, like, maybe more firmly establish those, like, divisions. Like a women's division is on this, like, you know, Raw has the cruiserweight division, you know, the tag division, and the other side has women's division and some other division.
Sure.
I don't know what the other one would be, but you know what I mean.
You know, who's
the other question I want to ask before we... What's up?
Oh, well, there's one person's name we haven't mentioned at all, and that's Elias. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I've got a thing. I've got a thing.
I hate Elias, dude, he sucks.
I hate Elias. Elias comes out for a segment. He sings. He starts to sing. Jeff Jarrett, Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett, comes in,
nails the guitar,
and suddenly, spend my days working hard on the goat. And then you just go from there.
I can see that.
I actually like that better than what I was going to suggest, which was that he's going to be interrupted by The Rock. So give him the Rock rub.
Yeah. I love Elias. I think he's great. And I think they're going to do a Rock thing with him. And I'd rather see Jeff Jarrett.
That's The Rock rub. I'd take that. Fuck, that's awesome.
Oh, I know. But Jeff
Jarrett reminds me in a way. He reminds me not necessarily like it's going to turn out that way, but he reminds me in a way of like John Cena, where like John Cena started when he was the rapper character. Like, he didn't even wrestle that first WrestleMania. He was just rapping out there. So it's like he seems to have an incredible grip on the character, but he's just terrible in the ring. He's just he's atrocious. He's like Honky Tonk Man level. He brings nothing to the table.
Let's not say things we can't take back.
Maybe it's the musician aspect of it all.
I like that.
He's such a good character. I don't care if he can wrestle. He's got so much potential.
Hence the Honky Tonk Man reference. He is the modern Honky Tonk Man, dude.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Which I guess, yeah, if they can write it well, yeah. But yeah, I think The Rock will be the one who spoils it. But the Aaron's mention of Jeff Jarrett brings me to one of the last points I had on the thing, and that is because I know I talk about this with Paul, actually, like at the restaurant in Liverpool when I saw him for a few hours, the lack of continuity. So who is going to be running the two shows in the storyline coming out of WrestleMania? Because Kurt Angle is going to be fighting the McMahon, so how is he going to be the Raw general manager? Is he going to be? And Daniel Bryan's cleared to wrestle, so is he going to just join the roster of wrestlers and abandon the post? So I guess those are like the two questions to wrap up the night, in a sense. I'm baffled by it, in a sense. I'm going to kick to Paul. It's kind of a bit of a surprise question, but what do you think of these vacancies that may open up?
I definitely think there's going to be a Kurt Angle vacancy. I just hope. You know, Heyman's not going to have a role. I can see him somehow getting involved. Maybe if I was a dream fantasy booker, it would be Eric Bischoff. I would bring Eric Bischoff back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But definitely.
If they're ready to rehabilitate him, and on any given day, it depends on which rumor you hear, I think over the next year you'll see Hulk Hogan back in the WWE, and it wouldn't surprise me if he wound up as a GM. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying they'll do it, but I think you'll see Hogan in a role somewhere, and I think they're ready to bring him back. Other than that, I don't really have any ideas. I'd like to see Mark Henry in a role, too, now that, like, I'm not even sure he's retired, but...
Nah, he is.
One more match. Yeah. I'd like to see one more Mark Henry match.
I thought about that, actually, when I was saying the Lifetime Achievement. Maybe just have him enter the Battle Royal on the pre-show and win. I'd be psyched if that happened.
I'd be fine with that. That'd be awesome, and then that would be his, his final moment.
His send-off.
That would be great. Do you think they'll do it? No, but maybe. But yeah, any chance to talk about getting Eric Bischoff back into action? I'm all for it. Not as a booker, but as a character, I'm cool with that. But JBL wouldn't surprise me to see him come back. Either.
Oh, JBL, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought it up is because Aaron mentioned Jeff Jarrett, and I guess that's the talk, that maybe Jeff Jarrett will be one of the new GMs. So it seems like kind of a rotating position of Hall of Famer type things.
The Large Hadron Collider really has changed the universe. Donald Trump is president, and we're talking about Jeff Jarrett coming back and being a GM in the WWE, my mind is broken. It is officially broken. Could have it.
Anyway. And one last thing before I let you clowns go. Aaron, do you have an opinion on the GM situation, actually? Yeah, and toss to you on that one.
I do. One thing I will say is that
I love it.
I absolutely
yes, what are your thoughts?
One, Eric Bischoff is going to be doing a new podcast with Conrad Thompson, who has his Bruce Pritchard and Tony Schiavone podcast. So that's going to be epic. But I was just thinking that Paul mentioning Eric Bischoff reminded me that it is now 21 years of nearly constant heel authority figures on wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Time for it to end. Just end.
Yeah.
Find a Jack Tunney-esque guy to show up when a big decision needs to be made, but otherwise, just get shit done. We don't need it. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. But if you have to, I want Jeff Jarrett because it's weird. I've sort of come full circle, and I like Jeff Jarrett, and I want to see him on my TV. I like him. I want Jeff Jarrett, and if I could have Eric Bischoff, that would be great. My ultimate dream, because I'm an old school Southern guy, is I want Jim Cornette to just show up and just yell at people.
That'd be awesome.
But I think that there are still going to be McMahons involved, and I think that Jeff Jarrett might be involved. I think that would be cool. I don't know. I think, unfortunately, what we're going to have is we're going to have heel Shane on one show and heel Stephanie on the other show.
Yeah.
Just solo. Yeah.
I think you're right. And my reaction is,
Yep.
I'm tired of the McMahons, but everybody's been saying that for years.
Yeah.
And they're never going to write – it's their company. They're never going to write themselves out of the narrative, unfortunately.
They're long overdue now for a Shane heel turn, so I think that actually probably will be what happens this year because he's been a face now for the last 2 years, so he's way overdue.
But has he? I mean, his screwing Owens and Zayn at Fastlane, I was like, this is the face? He's a face.
He's a McMahon. He plays by his own rules.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate the McMahon. I hate them.
It just blows up the storytelling of
the
show.
Yeah.
That sort of irritates me. It's like when she said the segment where Stephanie McMahon was like, "With McMahon's, we make the rules." It's like, well, then why am I watching?
Yeah, for real.
Like, why am I?
If you wanted to do stuff, and I mean, we're totally speculating on things that will never happen. Shane would actually be a pretty good heel. I think he's a pretty good heel. Stephanie, I'd be interested in seeing her try out as a face because she's real life.
Yeah.
She's a really great person. She does amazing charity work, and she's a great corporate exec.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So why?
Very confusing because she's.
Let her be that person. Try that one on. Send her away for a while, but then bring her back as, you know, a better person. Maybe a lost Ronda Rousey.
Linda McMahon.
Yeah, sure. Basically, sure, her mom. And Shane becomes Vince. You know, if you got to do the McMahon thing, why not? Because, frankly, Stephanie's a really nice person, apparently, in real life. And Triple H is great. He's the king of young talent. So these are two people that actually are kind of built to be, you know, they could have been the saviors. You know, we're saving this company from the way Dad did it. And instead, they turned into Dad.
As macabre as this sounds, maybe they're waiting. They're waiting for the ultimate face turn when Vince dies. Then they'll become the faces of WWE, literally and figuratively. They'll be like, we're carrying on his legacy and shit. And then Shane can be the upstart guy.
I like the idea of Stephanie being a face because every time I see any evidence of her that's out of character, I like her. you know, and you know, all the way back to, you know, the invasion angle and when she was the part owner of ECW and whatever, I've been sort of conditioned not to like her, right? But yeah, she's okay. You know, she kind of gets it, and Triple H absolutely gets it. And Shane was smart enough to get out of the company for a while.
Right.
You know? So he's not tied into this whole nonsense, this old legacy nonsense. And yeah, have him be faces. Have him, you know, have a face authority figure without any sort of shenanigans. You know, have somebody who's there to have.
Yeah, we'll try it on Raw at least, because they haven't. Yeah. They did it with Kurt
Southern,
Angle.
I'm being so Southern, but what these shows need is Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Bullet Bob Armstrong to be, you know, a commissioner who comes
Jesus,
in.
You are being and, Southern.
And sets the heel straight and says, no, we're going to have a cage match where you can't pull any shit. You know, that's what we need. It would just be so refreshing to have kind of old school face authority figures for a while.
Transition Triple H is like a Bill Watts role.
Yeah. I'm not going that far. Although, just to mess with people, disqualifying people for coming off the top rope would be awesome. But
yeah, that is true.
I
mean, the death of 205 Live.
Yes.
All right. This was the last thing, actually. Last thing I have in the thing is this is a business thing. I think Paul will appreciate this. What's your prediction, gentlemen, for the TV rights deal? Because they're talking about moving to Fox now. And I'm very concerned personally about this because I feel like they're going to get they're going to back themselves ass backwards into a deal where they like get 2 hours on Monday nights on Fox, the channel, like, you know, like Channel 6, as we all know them on our local cable TV. And they're going to like die. They're not going to do well at all, like on network TV, you know, just going to be bad. And then they're going to get like moved to the other channel. And it's going to be a huge blow to the show. So I'm afraid they're going to be canceled. They're going off of Fox, you know, so I'm very worried about that whole thing. But they seem in constant pursuit of, like, as is capitalism, the next big deal. So I think they're going to, like, sell out and sign with Fox. That's my theory and kind of, like, I think they're eyeing a long-run sale on the whole operation eventually. That's my personal theory.
I agree, Sorry, Aaron.
I'll
I
let
also
Paul
think
go
there's
first.
A political...
Sorry,
I think there's a political angle to it, too. Linda McMahon is in Trump's cabinet. Fox is Trump's network, unless you think Sinclair is
conspiratorial. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's overt. I'm not sure they sit around like, you know, the Freemason cabal or something and go, this is how we destroy the world. But I do think that they skew that way. I think they think their audience skews that way. And I think that they think Fox is a natural fit with the Trump world that Linda McMahon, frankly, is in, you know, the cabinet, for God's sake.
That's true.
So yeah. I do think there's that element there as well, that if they were a publicly traded and publicly owned company. Yes. But if they didn't control the company, I don't think they'd make the move, because Tim's right. For business, I think it's a bad move. But I think there's other factors at play, whether they even realize it or not. So I think they will. If the deal is there to be had, I think they'll do it.
I just want to say, before I throw it to Aaron, I also want to stress, history, learn from history, man. They should never have left USA originally when they went to TNN, which became Spike. That's part of what killed the boom. They're like, there are a lot of things. WCW, ECW going out of business definitely killed the boom, but them going to TNN was a part of it, too. Like, they should have stayed on USA and just kept the gravy train rolling. But they cashed out for more money and fucked up the whole, you know, flow of what was happening, essentially. And I think they may do that again here, just as like trying, again, pursue ever constant, like, bigger deals. But what do you think, Aaron?
I think that it is really important to keep in mind that the WWE did not kill WCW. Jamie Kellner killed WCW by canceling wrestling program on Turner Networks. This idea of TV deals being you need a time slot. And the WWE has gone all in on TV revenue deals as being their main source of income, trumping pay-per-view, trumping house show revenue and things like that.
Everything,
and what I see happening is they look at Fox, and I think they look at Fox and they see some money that might be better than the USA money. But from what you said, Tim, I think they see as a positive possibly of having fewer hours to deal with, because this 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown is, I mean, it's a lot of TV to write, and it stretches everything out. And I think what happens is they end up on, if they end up on Fox, they end up having a smaller sort of reach as far as hours and eyeballs. But if they stay with USA, I think they continue to get stretched thin. I think the ultimate goal, as goofy as this sounds, is to move things to the network more and more, because I think if they're smart, they realize that wrestling is more and more of a niche fan base, and the network caters to that. And if you can get money and eyes to the network, that money is yours, and you don't have to share it with the network, but you need a little bit of footprint to get eyes driven to that network. So I think if they can go with a Fox deal for more money, and if they can have fewer hours to produce for broadcast or cable TV, I think that might be tempting, but I think it might backfire. But it's going to be interesting to watch. My single share of WWE stock rides heavily on what happens with this. It would have been more shares, but I got screwed over by pharmaceutical penny stocks in the last few years. So, actually last few days, it's basically a slot machine. And I told my wife, I pulled my money out of that one company. I bought a share of WWE. She's like, just tell me this isn't all retirement money you're playing with. No, this is your money I'm playing with. But I've got a share of WWE, and WrestleMania is around the corner, so we're going to be rich.
Nice.
See, Tim knows my ideas about the WWE's plans for the network and their corporate profile, because he and I had a long discussion driving from Halifax to Liverpool a couple years ago. Yeah. And Tim completely disagrees, and it would be a 2 hour long conversation that I don't want to start now.
Yeah,
I just think the move to Fox, I think, is part of their overall corporate strategy, which is to eventually move them away from wrestling. Not to get rid of wrestling, but to turn the network into and to move, like, wrestling just becomes part of the network. But the wrestling part in WWE becomes much less important to the world and entertainment parts, movies, non-wrestling TV shows. And I think they see Fox, because Fox does a lot of that stuff, of course, as a way to get to that promised land. And I think it's Triple H and Stephanie that push that they have a vision for something beyond wrestling. So yeah.
And Aaron, my response to this in the car ride is that they are the Muppets, and they need to just be the Muppets. They don't need to be anything more than the fucking Muppets. They're the Muppets. That's what WWE is. They are the wrestling show, and they just they don't need to make music albums and movies. And
But I don't disagree, Tim, and I didn't disagree back then. I just don't think they believe that. So
right. I was just going to say.
Yes, exactly. No.
I think they're the Muppets, but I think they don't realize that. And
exactly what it is. Yes. Yep.
It's like
we're all in agreement.
A Marines TV series with some NXT guy as the Marine. You know what are they going to do? It's stupid. There are so many
Cole.
Better stuff.
We're here to save your country.
I mean, look at it. It's the. I mean, look back in history. It's the Muppets start a football league called the XFL. It's like, this is not, you know, it's all. They're just the Muppets. They need to just be the Muppets. Don't stop trying to be anything else. But I agree with you, Paul, that's like the overriding, like, compulsion of the show, that they want to be more than wrestling. It's like, just be wrestling.
You know what they are? They're the Corleones, and they're Michael Corleone and Vito. They want to be respectable. They, to them, I honestly believe they view pro wrestling as the mob, and they want to become respectable. And so, cool, Linda McMahon is a cabinet secretary. That's awesome, except she's in basically a mafia cabinet, so that's no good. And every time they try, they're like Michael. They fail. The XFL, football's respectable. Let's do a football league. Fail. You're right. They're the Muppets. And like Michael Corleone at the end, he's a mobster. He will always be a mobster, no matter how hard he tries to get out. So it's tragic. It's like Shakespearean to watch them try and become something they're not. They even do the charity. It's like The Godfather 3 when Michael starts donating all the money and giving to charity and everything and doing the church thing and he gets all the awards. That's Stephanie. That's what she does.
Yep.
But she's the
daughter
of the she's the daughter of the Don. And Shane is, you know, Fredo. That's who they are. No matter how hard they try.
That is such an apt analogy because they really, I mean, even Linda in Trump's cabinet, it's not even the real cabinet. She's like the head of the Small Business Administration.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised she hasn't been like dragged into some scandal yet. She's actually one of the few who's managed to be scandal free in all this mess.
She's not important enough to be caught up in a scandal. She's the head of the
for anyone to look into it. I bet if anyone looked into it, I bet she's all rife with scandal.
it's just ridiculous. And this is oh God, I'm so Southern and so old school. This is Dusty Rhodes back in 1988 before the Turner buyout. So this time next year, baby, we're going to be making movies. We're going to be making sitcoms and television shows. And it's that Lyle Alzado learning the ropes show on syndicated sitcom in the U.S.
Oh, nice.
It's like, yeah, you're making a sitcom, but it's shit. And nobody cares. And you're gonna be the victim of your own sort of hubris and arrogance and classist, you know, nonsense.
They need to put that show on the network, though.
They do.
That Lyle Alzado wrestling show.
But I would say
watch
this,
that in a heartbeat.
And I don't mean this as a political comment. Everybody knows I hate Trump. But in a world where Donald Trump can get elected president, never, ever underestimate the ability of the McMahons to do what Michael Corleone couldn't. Not to make themselves respectable, but to turn everything around them disreputable so that they actually they pollute the world. You never know. Maybe they might actually do it only in reverse. I admire their ambition. I really do. It's just, it's sad and funny at the same time to kind of watch because it's so transparent what they want to be. And they do really good things too. They do the troops and they do charities and the WWE is a good thing. It's just, they need to be happy being the Muppets. You're right. You're right, Tim. You're right.
Thank you, sir. All right, boys. Well, we're pretty much at the end of the at the 3-hour mark, and I think it's time to call our night. Because they're going to come
off
anyway.
Go 7-0.
No. This preview was as long as most WrestleManias.
Yeah, it's true.
This preview was as long as the old WrestleManias used to be. My friend actually said that to me. He was like, "It used to start at 4:00 in the afternoon. Just go till 8." It's like, "Yeah, dude, that was WrestleMania 3." It's like we're on 34 now, man. Last 7 hours. What do you want from me? All right, gentlemen. Well, enjoy WrestleMania. Aaron, stay off Twitter because I'm going to be tweeting about it now.
I'm one of my colleagues I'm going on this trip with has like picked out a craft cocktail bar that he's taking me to, and I'm like, I told him, he's like, they've got these $13 drinks that you can't pronounce. I'm like, but do they have WrestleMania? And he's like, no, it's a classy place. I'm like, I don't know if I can go, man. You know,
dude, just go and just be like, do they have? All you have to say is, do they have Wi-Fi? Just get on the restaurant's Wi-Fi and have WrestleMania next to you and be like, I'll have another beer, please.
I'm going to. There's no beer here. He made that clear. It's all like, well, this is an old fashioned made with liquor you've never heard of, and I'm like, what is going on? So
you know, you got to ditch this and just go to, like, the nearest Denny's or Chili's and be like, do you have public Wi-Fi? And then just sit there with your iPad in front of you and be like, I'll have another beer and some nachos. Just That, you're like, I'm watching WrestleMania over here, man.
That sounds like
that's what they
ideal.
Should highlight. Guys like that who are like, I'm watching WrestleMania in a Chili's right now on their free Wi-Fi because WrestleMania, baby.
That's right.
The best part of this is.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I was just going to say, the best part of this, didn't mean to interrupt you, Aaron, it's that time lag, is in a month and a couple weeks, the three of us will be able to break WrestleMania and the aftermath down at the Esotericon after party and watch Greg Bishop's eyes glaze over as we continually talk about
you
wrestling.
Nice.
That is the end game for the three of us.
I like it. All right. On that note, let's call it a night here, guys, because we're at the end of the thing. So thank you so much for being a part of this insane WrestleMania special on par with this Sunday's festivities. So enjoy the show.
Woo-hoo.
And
Paul,
you and I will be tweeting back and forth on Sunday. And Aaron, avoid the spoilers. And let us know when you're back into the mix.
That's right.
I'll be tweeting like a storm and taking pictures of my pizza.
I'll take pictures of my food too. You know, I'm having wings. Yeah. I think so. We'll see.
Have a good trip, Aaron.
All right, gentlemen.
I'll see
good
both
night.
Of you.
Okay.
In a few weeks
talk
at Esotericon.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Talk cool to you guys later.
Good night, gentlemen.
See you, boys.
Bye.
Oh goodness gracious! That was the BOA Audio WrestleMania special. Thank you to Paul Kimball and Aaron Gullius for joining us. That was long, man. We got like 8 minutes left in the recording here before we have to shut it down. So thank you to everybody who listened. I cannot even imagine the miscreants who are still listening to this program right now. If you are still listening, I'll give you a bonus Easter egg. We're going to have the season finale coming up on April 22nd, which is actually really only like 17 days away, so a little over 2 weeks away. We're going to be hosting a live Banal of America special season 10 finale, series finale, in the courtyard of an occult bookshop in New Orleans, live. Stay tuned for more details. That's the big revelation if you lasted this long. And on that note, I'm going to call it a night because it's nearly 1 a.m. here on the East Coast. Good night, everybody.